Father God, thank you so much for each and every person that's here with us online and in the room. God, thank you that you have blessed us so much in a country where we are free to worship, where we have the ability to sing praises to you. Thank you for the worship team and their great job. God, thank you for the people here, new and old. God, thank you for the visitors that showed up during this time. God, we pray blessing on their day as well. Holy Spirit, give me the words I need to say. Let anything that's of my own thoughts just pass away. Give me the strength. Give me the stamina. Give me the wisdom that only you can bring. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask if you are on Zoom and not muted to mute yourself, because that's one less thing I want to have to deal with. So I just muted someone. So there we go. All right, so he talked about hearing pain last week. I have one page of notes, and it's not on the screen, Daryl, but I can see it. If you've got your Bibles, go old-fashioned on me. There we go. It's up, except I need to get rid of that. That's better. All right. So now I understand the fear on Daryl's face sometimes when he's doing this, because you're multitasking. Some of us are good at that. Some of us are not. We'll see if I'm good at that. So I loved these three verses that Daryl brought out. Jesus promised he would step by step. In John chapter 10, he reiterated this. He's telling his disciples a story about a shepherd and sheep following, and they don't have order. Because John 10, 5, well, most of us, it takes at least two or three times for it to get into our brain what's going on. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And then it clicked. Wow, Christ knows me, and I know Christ. And we started talking about, over the past, I don't know, several months, about the Holy Spirit. And how do we listen? How are we attentive to the Holy Spirit's voice in our life? Well, we know that Christ is the living word. We know that the living word doesn't contradict the written word. We know that the written word doesn't contradict God. We see the unity in the Trinity there. So we studied in Acts chapter 8 last week how God moves in different ways with different people. And the disciples had just come off of a powerful meeting, and many people came to Christ, and they were a team. Things were going well. Life was good. The gospel was spreading. There was persecution, but man, no one seemed to care. They were preaching Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. And here they go. They're out as a team until Acts chapter 8, verse 26. As for Philip, so sometimes I felt like Philip was left out. You know, here's the big name guys, and here's Philip. And as for Philip, an angel of the Lord says to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Like, okay, you're not going to be in the limelight. I want you to take the desert road and head out that away. Well, obedience in the small things, Daryl shared with us, is key to developing your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this one was a big one. An angel appeared and said, go do this. There was no questioning, is this of the Lord, is this not of the Lord? You know, I'm pretty sure when you see an angel, you know it's an angel. It's not a dream. It's not, oh, I ate pizza last night and I had an upset stomach. It's like, okay, God, I get it. So Philip does it. He followed step one. Verse 29 I pulled out from Daryl's lesson. The Holy Spirit then said to Philip, go over and walk beside that carriage. And we know the story. There was a man from Ethiopia. He was there on business and he was riding back to his home state, and the carriage passed by Philip, who happened to be on the right road because he heard the angel of the Lord speak to him, and he followed step one. Step two was Holy Spirit, still small voice, said, go walk beside the carriage. No other instructions, like literally just go walk beside the carriage. And Daryl pointed out, this guy was the treasurer. This guy was an important dude. He probably would be very leery of someone suddenly walking alongside his carriage and just walking there. But Philip did what the Holy Spirit said. He understood that still small voice. Sometimes we don't get the whole picture. Sometimes we follow one direction and wait for step two. Sometimes we see a partial picture. Maybe we get steps 1, 2, and 3, but don't know what 4, 5, and 6 are. We must take small steps of faith and obedience. We must hear and obey, Christianity 101. Apart from God, we really can't do anything on our own. I mean, think how improbable this would have been. Philip breaks away from the other disciples who have just come off a big successful campaign and walks down a desert road. The rest of the disciples probably would have said, what's he doing? You know, get back over here with us. We need you in our group. You know, you've been impactful. And he's like, no, I think I should go down here. If he hadn't heard from the Lord, would he have really done that? No. If he hadn't heard from the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have walked beside the carriage. And then Philip looks up and sees the dude reading. He's reading out of Isaiah, and it says, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And I loved what Daryl said in this one. We didn't see Philip trying to pull out this 7-point plan to becoming holy and knowing Christ. And, you know, you're on step one, listen to me. He actually said, do you know what you're reading? And he's like, not really. You want to teach me? Like, it was an open invitation. He didn't come in with a pre-planned thing. And he actually started with where that person was in Scripture and taught him about Christ. What if we did that in our daily lives when we spread the gospel? What if we see someone that's hurting because of whatever? Say it's a marital breakup. How do we deal with that? Do we come to them and say, oh, if you had followed steps 1 through 7 in God's perfect plan for marriage, you wouldn't be in the situation you are right now. I'm pretty sure they're going to either punch me or shut me off completely. But think, if we come to them and say, I'm so sorry you're going through this, how can I be of help? They're like, well, what should I do? My life's in ruins. And then suddenly we have a chance to share that God can redeem anything, that God can take what was broken and make it whole, that God can use any situation in our life and bring about good. Well, how do we, let me stop sharing here. How do we know when it's Christ's voice? Like, in all seriousness, we had great questions last week on how do I know if it's God or not? Well, following in the small things. I'll give a personal example. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Daryl had just preached a message on forgiveness. I was struggling with forgiving a certain person in my life. And man, I was like convicted. I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, you really need to let go of that. You need to give that up. And I'm like, but I was offended. And I had every like, but I could hear God speaking. And I'm like, okay, God, can you give me some confirmation? So I think in the next week, Chris Ugly was on there, and he pulled out and said, you know, if you go and you look at the love chapter and you just replace love with your name, Maybe that's how we should live our lives. And it's like, okay, God, I heard that through Chris. That's good. God uses those little things. Earlier today, I heard from someone that even confirmed that more. They said, hey, I met with this person I hadn't seen in a while, and it was awkward at first, but man, we were able to hug it out. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I see what you're telling me here. I need to let you do it and not me have the 7-point plan. I need to be like a Philip and do the first step, and then you'll show me the second step and then the third step. I'm a planner. And so what I like to do is have steps 1 through 5 done and set in stone and move forward. God doesn't always move that way. And if you're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal everything to you, number one, I think you're going to be overwhelmed. I don't know that I would have walked down that road, been bold enough to walk beside the carriage, been bold enough to ask, do you even know what you're reading and doing all of those things? But man, one little thing, go down that road. When God does those little things and he confirms it with other little things from people, he confirms it through scripture. I'll share this. This was this morning in one of the devotionals I'm reading. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord, which plays into where we're headed in 1 Timothy today as well. So these little bits and pieces, scripture will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll speak to you through a person. All of those things build up faith. All of those things make us more aware of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it shouldn't be unusual, guys. This is what Christianity 101 should be. Dramatic pause while I figure out how to share the screen again. All right, a few other verses. There we go. These really spoke to me because I'm sort of senseless sometimes. And Daryl said it in a very polite way. I'm not going to be quite as polite as him. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. The Lord said, I'll guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you. I'll watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. I'm more the mule that needs a good stern whack on the rear end to get me moving. Like, let's not be that type of Christian. God will not force us to do his will. God is not saying here, you're a senseless horse, I'm going to beat you into submission until you do what I say. He says, no, if you know me, if you hear my voice, then guess what? I'm going to guide you on the best path for your life. I'm like that mule that sees other paths and tries to divert. And God sometimes will gently nudge me back onto the right path, into his will. Sometimes God has used rather catastrophic things to nudge me back in, but it was never in a condemning way. Okay, that's what I want you to get from this. The psalmist here is saying, man, if you just trust in God and follow him, then it's going to be a lot easier than if you're always bucking against the system. And often, because I grew up in a very conservative Christian background, and in that conservative Christian background, we weren't supposed to hear from the Lord anymore because we had the Bible, and that's all I needed. And if I read my Bible, that has everything in it that I need. And so I often would think I heard from the Lord, but because of my background, I think that was probably just me thinking that. Or maybe it's the devil trying to trick me. And so I had to deprogram myself from that to actually hear the voice of the Lord. And when you do the little small things like Philip did, when you're not the mule that wants to keep doing it the way you've always been taught or the way that you've been pre-programmed, it's freeing. It really is. It really is. And then here's another thing I struggle with. So Daryl, thank you so much for the message last week. I do say that with all sincerity. Luke 9:23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to follow me, be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. I believe this is one of the key reasons why we don't hear from God, is because we want to hear from him on our terms. Like, okay, God, if you tell me to go to church, I'll go to church. But if you tell me to go down to the homeless shelter and minister, I don't want to do that. Or, God, if you tell me you want to use me up on stage at VBS and I'm the star of the show, I'll do that. But if you tell me, show up and be the cleaning crew, I don't want to do that. There's a lot of times where our selfishness actually interferes and blocks us from hearing God's word. But if we get past our selfishness, if we get past our stubbornness, our mule-likeness, if I could say it that way, here's what Romans says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And I love what Daryl, he flipped it. He said, if you're a child of God, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. They can't be apart. We can't split that up. If you're a child of God and you're not hearing from the Spirit of God, check yourself. Like, question that. Why am I not hearing? Is it selfishness? Is it something in my life that's blocking the lines of communication? Like, it would be like me saying, you know, my wife and I are married, but we never communicate. That would be a very poor marriage. Like, literally, if we never talked to one another and we just did our own thing, what type of marriage would that be? And some of you are smiling out there, so I hope I didn't hit a nerve. At least live-wise, I can't see anyone on screen, so if you're laughing on screen or you're elbowing your husband or wife, that's a good thing. We've all gone through that in our marriages. When communication breaks down, it doesn't seem like it's a very good marriage. Well, with communication and our Heavenly Father, when that line goes down, it doesn't seem like a good relationship. But yet Romans promises us, children of God will be led by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:25, it steps it up another notch. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And this is where I went, ouch. Am I following the Spirit's leading in every part of my life? Do I make a decision that's selfish for me? Do I make a decision that's right for just me and my family? Am I looking at, okay, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? And I'll often say, in the tedious day-to-day tasks, you know, I'm not going out and saying, okay, Christ, is it Crest or, you know, Colgate toothpaste this morning? Which one do you want me to use? I think we understand that. But man, when it's major life decision things, when it's, okay, do you want me to be in this ministry or that ministry? Am I just picking the one I feel most comfortable in? Or am I listening to where God wants me? Maybe he wants to stretch me. Maybe he wants to stretch you in the way you do things. If we are led by the Spirit, we are children of God. The challenge is to follow his leadership in every aspect of our lives. And it doesn't always happen perfectly because none of us are perfect. None of us are going to get it exactly right. But it was a great reminder last week that Christianity 101 starts with hearing and obeying in the little things. Then Daryl ended with a quick warning from 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And he said this, and I love that, we cannot truly live without hearing his voice and obeying his voice. So we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, the entire chapter, in under half an hour. So I promise not to keep you too long. And we're going to hear, hopefully, the voice of the Lord. So I titled this Christianity 102. So we're building on last week. Watch and work. And here was the warning. But I'll preface this with, keep in mind, when this says the last times, okay, the last times are anything after Christ's ascension into heaven and his return to the earth. So they were in the last times here. So we don't want to get so stuck in our theology to say, well, when are the last times? Well, today it seems like we have a lot of hypocrites and liars. So maybe now is the last times. Well, yes, it is, because the last time started when Christ said, I'm sending you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will teach you. So here Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly. I love how he used that word clearly. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly, okay, as we hear and obey. We become more and more attuned to hearing the Holy Spirit, and we hear him more and more clearly. If you've been a Christian for 40 years and you still don't know what clearly is, let's kick it up a notch. I know Christians who have been Christians for 2 weeks and they hear more clearly than I do because they've just sucked it all in and they said, I'm all in with God. There's something to be said about the more time we spend with God, the more we hear from God. So the Holy Spirit told Paul and Timothy clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. Okay, here is Christians today panic. Am I one of those that's going to turn away from the true faith? And suddenly, our focus is off God and it's on ourself. What am I going to do to turn away from the true faith? Well, let's back up. How are we saved? Not by works, but by Christ. So if we truly have our faith in Christ, there's no way we turn away. So we're safe. If you're going, well, I don't think I've ever accepted Christ, then talk to Daryl or I, or talk to one of the people in this church about what it truly means to follow Christ, to be a Christ follower. Because then you may be in danger. But man, if you're following Christ and you're doing the best you can with that and you've trusted him, you're in the true faith. So remember Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So good news, if you recognize the Holy Spirit speaking in your life, you're in the true faith. If you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, let's check this a little bit more. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. I'll share a personal story growing up. Again, my background, super conservative. I was either in 8th or 9th grade, and I started doubting my salvation. Like, literally, I would do something bad, and I would be like, I am the worst Christian in the entire world. In fact, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. God help me. What do I do? And, like, I struggled with that, because I was also in a church where everyone was shiny, happy Christians on the outside, and what you did Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, unless you went to youth group on Wednesday nights, that was hidden. When you were in church, you were, this is who you are. This is the glowing halo over you. So I was in bus ministry, helped with children's church, occasionally got to actually speak in church, which I think now was terrifying then. It's still terrifying today. I think that's important. Anytime you speak God's word, you should be a little terrified because we want to get it right. But man, I was in that doubting my salvation phase, like literally. And my youth pastor went to me and says, so why are you doubting your salvation? And I'm like, well, because I did this, this, and this. And he goes, so how do you know those things are wrong? I said, well, duh, I have a conscience. And he goes, yeah, the Holy Spirit uses your conscience to convict you of sin. That means the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You can't be unsaved and hear the Holy Spirit unless it's his first call to you to come out of sin. And this isn't your first call to come out of sin, because you've just, like, he laid it out so simple. I was so thankful for him. He's like, you just laid out 3 sins to me and over a period of days, and you were convicted of each one. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. You're okay. Don't panic. I was like so far panicked because I had already been saved and baptized as a smaller child, and no one ever got resaved and rebaptized. That would have been like heresy. That would have been horrible. And so I'm like arguing with God in my head. Well, Lord, I'll get saved quietly, but we won't do the baptism thing. And it was all just me and my selfishness working myself up, not listening to the Holy Spirit say, hey, dummy, I'm just telling you don't do this sin anymore because I want you more Christ-like. And when I finally got that through to my head, it was so freeing. I wasn't, oh my goodness, did I make a misstep? Am I in? Am I out? And now I look at this passage and say, wow, their consciences were dead. The King James says seared. Seared actually means cauterized, unable to communicate with one another. So in other words, these people are so far gone. They don't hear from the Holy Spirit. They don't listen to anyone else. And I think we all know a few people like that in our lives, that they just will not listen to reason sometimes. But in here, Paul gives the 2 major examples that were going on in his time for what they said you had to do to be a Christian. They will say it's wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. So fill in whatever it is in today's world that it's like, oh, you must do this to be a Christian. You must do that to be a Christian. You know, in some ultra charismatic circles, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not a Christian. Okay? Fill in that. If you speak in tongues with my conservative friends, then you are deceived and you're not of the true faith. Like, those are the issues we deal with. Back then it was, okay, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't get married. And Paul actually dealt with that. Paul said, hey, I wish you were like me, not married, because I think you could accomplish more for Christ. But if you burn for a marital relationship, it's better you be married. So even Paul had said, it's not marriage or unmarriage that makes you a Christian. It's your faith and trust in Christ. And I've known several friends of mine who are single and Christians and on fire for the Lord. Like, literally, God has called them to that. God calls us to different things in our lives. And then it's wrong to eat certain food. Well, Peter handled this one back then. He's like, you know what? I had this vision from the Lord, and it was truly him, because guess what? He told me exactly what was going to happen. It happened. It was of the Lord. And there is nothing wrong with this food. There is nothing wrong with fellowshipping with Gentiles. This, like, broke open the church to move from a small group of Jews to the entire world. And yet the people back then who were saying this were so dead set against it that they were actually trying to hinder God's work. And that's what I think it truly means that they will turn away from the true faith. They will go off on some divisive tangent that really doesn't apply. And that will be the thing they put in stone in the ground, that you shall not pass unless this. But God created those foods, continuing reading, to be eaten with thankfulness by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. So key things in this little passage here. Notice how we're to discern the truth through the word of God and prayer. So we have more of the written scripture now than they did back then. They just had the Old Testament. They were actually listening to the voice of the Lord. Peter had that vision. Peter followed the voice of the Lord in that vision. Today we have the New Testament. We have the apostles' writings to fall back on. But guess what? Nowhere can I find it in scripture where it says God ceased speaking to people through prayer. Like, prayer is meant to be a two-way conversation. We're supposed to bring things to God, and we're supposed to hear from him. I think the reason why it's become so one way in our current church model is that we're always bringing requests to God. We're always asking for things. Lord, give me this. Lord, heal this person. And while those are fine, sometimes maybe it's like, Lord, what would you have me do today? And then listen. And then maybe some of those, Lord, heal this person, will be, okay, I'm going to give you the faith to go to their house and lay hands on them and pray for them. Well, no, Lord, I want you to heal them, but, you know, I don't want to look bad. You know, mule mentality kicks in my mind here. I'll pray for them quietly, you know. One of the things my wife loves so much about Daryl is that he would stop and pray for you right away. Like, if there was something that needed to be prayed for, it wasn't the standard Christianity 101 wrong version, I'll pray for you, brother. It's like, if you're going to pray for him, just pray for him. Like, people are literally shocked when you say, I'm going to pray for you, can I pray for you now? They don't know what to do. I think I've only had one person refuse prayer when I said, can I pray for you right now? And like 2 weeks later, they came back and asked for prayer because they realized, oh my goodness, he's serious about praying for me. He's just not saying it. Like, literally, I know on Facebook, you'll get a request go out and you'll put, I'm praying for you. And then how many times do we not pray for them? Like, literally, God convicted me of that and said, if you're going to put your praying for them, you better well do it. You know? So guys, through the word of God, through prayer, hearing, that's how we confirm what is true. It's as we continue to say, the Spirit will not contradict Scripture. The Spirit will not contradict the living Word, which is Christ. The Trinity is unified. You're not going to hear one thing from the Spirit and another from the Bible. Okay? You're not going to hear one thing from Jesus and the Holy Spirit says, well, that was for back then. You don't have to do that now. Do this instead. You're not going to hear that contradictory voice. If you hear that, honestly, that's Satan trying to trip you up. All right, so let's move back. To verses 6 through 10. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. So here we have Paul entrusting Timothy to defend the true faith against these blatant misunderstandings, mistreatments of the true faith during a critical time. Paul also encourages him to focus on what matters, and this passage really spoke to me. It's been speaking to me for several weeks, so when Daryl gave the little admonition, I'm like, you know, I think I could preach on some of that. Here's what Timothy was not supposed to do. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas, old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. So number one, what's our focus to be? To be godly. How do we be godly? To be godlike, to be Christlike. We listen to the Spirit. But as I was delving deeper into this passage, it was obvious. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas. What are godless ideas? The way the world does things. Paul was telling Timothy, don't even bother with those things that are so far out there that you know, okay, that's contradictory to the Christian truth. Don't even worry about those things. Like, let it go. And some of the kids are now singing, let it go. One that's a little harder here to see, the less obvious, is old wives' tales. The message, I like it better because it's not disparaging old people or wives. It says silly stories. Like in, we're supposed to avoid silly stories. Maybe things that just take up time. You know, for me, silly stories was sports, okay? Watching sports on TV. Haven't been a lot of that. I've heard a lot more from the Lord lately. Two and two together. Maybe cut out a lot of the sports watching that you do. I will admit, though, yesterday they had the 2020 Cornhole Championships, and it was a live event. I watched it. I was that starved for a sporting event. So I'm not completely off of sports, but like it was there. And let's not forget Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest was yesterday. And I watched that, and Joey Chestnut won for the 13th time. He ate 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes, okay? So that is where sports has gone for me. And I'm like, okay, that was a silly story. And like, I took a few minutes out of my day, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not saying, okay, everything has to be all God all the time, and I can't do anything that's fun. So don't celebrate, don't have birthday parties, it's all about God. No, he was just telling him, don't spend so much time on these silly stories that you get off track from your main focus. So if you can enjoy a silly story or a sporting event, but you're still on focus with me, great. But man, when you start worshiping that silly story or worshiping that sporting event or whatever it is in your life, video games, I don't think any of us are worshiping Zoom anymore. We wish, you know, we could be face-to-face all the time. Don't waste your time on those. But the third one got me. The third one is actually hidden. The third one is something that is actually good for us that Paul said, Timothy, don't focus on this. Physical training is good. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So literally something that's good for me, exercise. Paul warned Timothy, don't focus so much on the temporal, the world now, that you're working out and you're buff and great, but your godliness, you're a wimp. Like literally he said, it's good, but there's something better. So what are the things in our lives that are good? But there's something God wants us to have better. Now, I'm not saying stop exercising. That would be nice because I really don't like to exercise. But think of that. If we physically need to exercise, how much more important to spiritually exercise and do the things like watching and working, like hearing and obeying, and then spiritually we become much stronger. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul says, and everyone should accept this. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. I think that's interesting there. Side note, it's not even in my notes. God is the Savior of all people. He wants to save everyone. We know that, John 3:16. But particularly of the believers. So those who are following the truth, listening to the Spirit, He is our protector, our Savior. He wants everyone to have that equal opportunity. There are no groups that He is saying, no, you can't. Like that revolutionized the gospel back in this time frame. Man, are there any groups that I would be like, oh, I don't want to minister to that group, or I don't want to be around this particular type of person? And we need to check ourselves on that, folks. The world is watching right now, Christians more than ever, and how we react to things. And are we going to fight back with horrible words and actions, or are we going to fight back with God's love? Are we going to show God's grace? Are we going to be able to stand there and take someone shouting us down for our belief and just say, you know what? I still think you have a valid point. You are a human being just like I am. You're created in God's image, and I still care for you. Or are we going to take our ball and go away and play somewhere else? That, I think, is what the church needs to do, is show more love instead of showing this militance of, we're right, you're wrong, do it our way, or die and go to hell. Amen. Had Philip, thank you, I got an amen. If Philip had said that to the Ethiopian eunuch there that was traveling, man, I doubt he would have been open to expounding the scriptures. But man, he had that soft approach, that approach that I want to see where you are. I want to listen to you. I want to understand what you're trying to say. And if we can get a dialogue started, that's 2/3, 3/4 of the battle. Today, it's I say one thing, they say the other, and they're complete opposites, and nothing goes any further. Let's break that cycle. All right, and we're coming to the end. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Again, Timothy's being told, teach this to everyone so that they can hear the truth. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. So Timothy was younger in the faith. He was also younger in age. And Paul is saying, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't hear from God. As a matter of fact, I would argue that younger Christians hear more because they're more excited. There's something about a childlike faith. As we get older, we become more cynical of, well, could God really do that? But children, not so much. Like, I can remember one distinct, I was 7, and I wanted to ride my bike, and it had rained for like 3 days straight, and the forecast was, I think, for another 5 days of rain, and I'm just like, God, stop the rain. That's all I said. 10 minutes later, the sun was out, and I was riding through the puddles. And I got about an hour of riding my bike, and then it started raining again. Okay? A childlike faith to pray for something that I just wanted to ride my bike. And I was able to step out and do that. And then I realized today, would I actually pray for God to stop the weather pattern? Because, you know, WMUR told me that over the next 7 days, we have a 50% chance of this. Well, half the time I'll get it right, half the time I won't. What about for people's spiritual lives? Am I willing to pray for that person that I've been praying for 20 years to be saved and keep praying for them, knowing that God is faithful? Or have I just said, okay, God, it's been 20 years. I'll check that off my to-do list, and heaven help me when I approach the throne. And it's like I've checked things off just because God hasn't moved on my timeline. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. What if we are an example through what we say, because it's backed up by the way we live, the way we love, our faith, our purity, which is righteousness and godliness, God's message will be received in a much better light. Like if any of those things, if there's a breakdown in that chain, if we're only an example to Christians by what I say, and then I live totally different, that's going to damage someone's belief system. If I say it and live it, but I'm not loving, it's going to damage the message. If I say it, I live it, I'm showing love, but I don't have faith that I'm hearing from God, it's going to damage the message. If I say it, I live it, I love it, I have faith, and then I'm not very godly, I'm not very righteous, I act like the rest of the world, it's going to damage the message, guys. And I've damaged God's message long enough in my life by saying one thing and then not living it through, or by saying it, living it, but man, having frustration and hatred in my heart and not loving the way I should love. I've damaged it by being faithless and questioning God. I've damaged it sometimes in just my purity, my overall godliness. And I've had to go to friends and say, you know, what I did was not what a Christian should do. Please forgive me. And thankfully, God can even take that and turn it around. They're like, well, at least you're not a hypocrite and you understood what you did wrong and you've confessed that to me. I think there might be something to that. So even in our failures, God can turn around and find a success. And then Paul continues on. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Okay, stay in God's word, encourage one another, and teach. In other words, just talk to people. Teaching doesn't have to be in front of a Zoom screen or in front of a congregation. Teaching can be just one-on-one discipleship, one-on-one talking. And then there's an interesting passage here. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. So Timothy had been commissioned to do a work. Most commentators think that Timothy's main gift was teaching. We see that by how many times Paul said, teach well. Make sure that your walk and your teaching line up. But we also know later on in this passage, Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, to spread the gospel. So whatever that spiritual gift that he received by the laying on of hands was, he was told, don't neglect it. In other words, I like to say it this way, do your job and do it well. Whatever God has called you to, do it and do it well. That's the best testimony the world can ever see. Like literally, if you work in a secular job and you won't participate in certain things because of your belief, that is a great testimony. Especially if you don't flaunt it that I'm better than you. Like literally, I've had countless times with my accountant to where he says, why do you even give money to the church? You know, especially with Trump's new 24,000, whatever it is, level that everyone gets. And he's like, you don't even have to give that money anymore to get a tax break. And I'm like, I don't give money to get a tax break. I give money to help my church help others. And then he's like, well, why would you want to do that? There are other charitable groups that you can give to. And so it's been a witnessing testimony with my accountant that, okay, you've been faithful to do this. And at one time I got audited by the government because they said, someone who made this shouldn't give that much and we think you're lying. Like literally had to go to the government and prove to them that, no, this is who I am. And it was a witnessing opportunity with that person who audited me. Like, in all seriousness, guys, whatever God has called us to do, do your best at it. And I'll go to, you know, I can remember as a kid, and I know I'm going back to kid because kid stories are pretty cool. The garbage truck would drive by and pick up garbage. And, like, that was a job that no one ever said, I want to grow up to be a garbage man. You know, I've never heard anyone say that, okay? Maybe someone does, they want to drive the truck and now it's automated. But this was back in the day when literally you rode on the back of the truck, which was kind of cool. and you jumped off, you got the bin, dumped it in, and the garbage would get on you a little bit, and it was not probably the best job in the world. But I can remember one dude who, like, was always singing and whistling and happy and loved his job, and I'm thinking, you're a garbage guy. And then I saw the janitor at our church doing his job to the absolute fullest of his ability, and I realized, it clicked with me as a young teenager, man, whatever I do, if I'm doing it for God, then people are going to see that, and it's going to create a chance to show God's love. It's going to create a chance to witness and share the gospel. And that's all Paul was telling Timothy. Use your spiritual gift and don't neglect it, because if you neglect it, it's going to cause some issues. And the last two verses, give your complete attention to this matter. Okay, Paul was just again reminding him, here's the focus on God, on hearing from the Holy Spirit, not the other things. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. In other words, our lives should be an open book. Like, literally, I want to do everything in my power to project that I love God so much that I'm willing to do this. We should all be willing to do that. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Again, if your walk and your talk aren't syncing up, something can happen. And here is the last thing I'll leave with you. Two things. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation. Okay? That's comforting. Stay true and I'm saved. Okay? Just keep abiding in God and He's got me. So there's the comfort. Now here's the challenge. Stay true to what is right for the salvation of those who hear you. Wow. So it's just not my eternal destiny that I am living for. It's someone else's who's watching me. That I may never say a word to, but they may hear about what I did and be like, yep, another one of those Christians who says Jesus is great, and they go off and do this. Man, therein lies where I need to hear from the Spirit daily. I need to hear God's plans for me. I need to be spending time with Him, not just so that I'm safe, but that so through my life, others can see and others can hear the gospel. That's the crux of what we're supposed to do as Christians, guys. Love people well, love God well, and on those two commandments, it says, the entirety of Scripture hinges. And if we can just do those two things, if we're so in love with God that we have a passion to love people regardless of who they are, man, we'll stay true to what is right for my own salvation and the salvation of others. So I came up with the Holy Spirit gave me three prayer points. The first is basic. Man, train me, Holy Spirit, to hear your voice because I want to hear it crystal clear. Number two, Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to my conscience, convicting me of sin, and comforting me when I struggle. Like, that is a huge blessing in my life. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit convicting me of things, I would still be living in my sin. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit comforting me, I would be just like a nervous, anxious mess all the time. And so thank you, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, let me be sensitive to your leading. Let my walk and talk be perfectly in step with you. So I'm going to open it up to prayer time. If you're on Zoom and you want to pray, you unmute yourself. If you're out here and you want to pray, we just ask that you come up and pray here so they can hear you. And I'll start us off, and then Daryl, when you feel that we've hit enough or too much, not that you can have too much prayer, we'll go from there. So Father, take what I said and bless it and use it. Let people remember what they need to work on. Even if it's not one of these three prayer points, Lord, what they heard in this message. God, help us to hear your voice clearly, especially in these coming days. Lord, whether we're in the latter days or just the next to latter days or whatever days we're in, God, let us hear from you clearly so that we can move forward as your church, that we can move forward as your people, that we can influence the world to see that there is something better. God, there is something better than what the world has to offer, and that's you, Christ. So Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us as a church. Speak to us individually. Speak to your entire body across this world. Such a time as this. So I have no idea how much of that you heard, guys, but now we're connected. So if any of you want to share or pray, feel free. And if anyone out there wants to, step forward.
Father, we thank you for the word of God and the encouragement to hear from your Spirit and to live each day, Father, throwing ourselves into the work that he has for us. And God, that concept makes perfect sense on paper. And Lord, Monday comes and suddenly our days are busy and we have an agenda and we have a calendar that we have to keep up with. And it's not as easy. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you will become the God of our day, the God of our calendar, the God of our schedule. And Lord, in those moments where we are walking through the necessary moments of life, I ask God that you will help us to remember to open up that moment and to offer it to you, Father. Maybe you just want the freedom to invade the thing that we have to do with your presence. And I just ask for a cognizant sense to check in with you often, God. Lord, may we be a people who, don't feel like we have to always step away and get alone with you, but Lord, just to bring you into and let you have that free place, God, in our moments. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you said that we would live by your voice more than the necessary food. And I pray that, Father, just like we know what it feels like to be hungry for food, that you would cause us to be hungry for your voice. And, Lord, to stop at nothing until we can satisfy that hunger, God. Let us be a people who know your voice and who can repeat back what you said with accuracy and truth and with love, God, so that the world can taste and see that you're good. Just thank you for all that you're doing, God. Thank you that you're here with us, that you are the comforter and the exhorter and the challenger all in one. Lord, go with us, we pray. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thanks, everybody.
I'll jump in. As I was praying and during the service too, I got a vision. I saw a gigantic mountain and it had these, icy cliffs and perilous drops and everything. And I'm just like, that is just overwhelming. And then I just heard the Lord say to me, "We're going up the mountain. That's not what I have for you right now." And I looked next to it and there was a hill and it was a fairly steep hill, but it was definitely like, oh, that's doable. And he's like, "We're going up the hill." So I just want to encourage people not necessarily look at those gigantic mountains that are in your life with their icy crags and their sharp cliffs and everything like that. Put those to the side, look to the hills that God has put in front of you for right now and go up those. When it comes time to climb the mountain, God will prepare you and, you'll be ready for it. But I think that God has a lot of hills for us to climb in the meantime, and just be faithful in climbing the hills. And eventually, when it comes time, you'll be ready to climb the mountain.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Good reminder. Got it? Okay, cool. Well, thank you, everybody. You are dismissed. Don't forget to pick up your chillins. And we will see you guys next week. I'll leave this channel open again in case you want to say hello to each other. See you guys.